This is a conversation with Benjamin Allary, CEO and founder of BlueJay, an AI company transforming global tax research for over 4,000 firms worldwide. A law professor at the University of Toronto turned tech founder, Benjamin now applies his legal expertise to AI-driven analysis. I loved how he connects his vision of the legal singularity with technology that enhances human judgment and brings greater fairness and transparency to the law. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for joining the Humans on AI podcast. I appreciate your time. So let's start. I've checked a little bit of your background story. You have a background in law. I guess that you're a lawyer. However, right now you are a founder and CEO of BlueJay, which is a big kind. It's related because you are focusing on global tax research using AI. But I would like to understand, how was this transition?
Sure. It's true. I am trained as a lawyer, but I come to this as a law professor, as a tax law academic. I've been teaching at the University of Toronto at the law school since 2004. And for the vast majority of that time, I've been teaching tax courses, doing academic research in tax law. This is a very different job, being a founder, co-founder, and CEO of a tax technology company, compared to being a tenured faculty member at the law school at the University of Toronto. This is like a wildly different occupation. It's something that has unfolded over the past 10 years. So BlueJay started back in 2015, and it's been a slow motion transition for me, really, in terms of identity and focus. And you can't really be a part-time founder of a tech company and be successful at it. And so this is really, it's now taking over a huge amount of my time and attention to be scaling BlueJay as we are.
Okay. May I ask why BlueJay? Like, where does the name come from? Maybe it's because I don't understand much about law taxes, maybe, but what is the connection?
Yeah, it's totally not obvious to somebody who's not a lawyer or familiar with reading case law. So in case law, in a lot of jurisdictions, if there's a J following someone's surname, it means they're a judge. So I would be Allary J, you'd be Laorga J. And so BlueJay is really like Judge Blue. And then the question is, okay, so why call the company Judge Blue, essentially? And the reason is, we thought originally that we'd be using a bunch of IBM technology. IBM is Big Blue. And the University of Toronto has the Varsity Blues. So this was a way to capture this idea that we'd be doing stuff using AI, legal technology, leveraging, we thought at the time, maybe Watson would be a key part of our tech stack. And the fact that this company had origins with the University of Toronto is a spin out from the University of Toronto. And so capturing all of that in five characters, BlueJay, it's just the letter J, was pretty elegant. And I thought it was clever. And also, like, humans have a good memory for animals and birds and other things. And it's much easier to remember the name of the company, BlueJay, because it has that association with that creature, the BlueJay, which, by the way, is like a very bold and outgoing bird and just is assertive and captures also the spirit of the company.
Okay, great. Because when I was checking BlueJay, I was thinking, I don't get it. The words, like, I hear the, but now, yeah, okay, it makes sense. Okay, now everything I thought about AI, I've learned that every different industry is using or applying AI for in all their companies. So I would like to understand, what are the challenges of integrating AI in law?
This is a huge question. I think it depends on what you mean by integrating it into law. And then I guess it also depends on what you mean by AI. There's so many different ways to think about this. Maybe the way that I'll answer it is to say, one of the ways in which it's very clear AI can add value to legal workflows is to massively accelerating legal research. So this is something that historically can be extremely time consuming. And so AI can massively cut down the amount of time necessary to do detailed tax law research. I think if you're not an insider, it's hard to appreciate just how complex the Internal Revenue Code is and all of the regulations made under the auspices of the Internal Revenue Code, and really have an appreciation just for the volume of case law and IRS rulings. And this, we're talking about millions and millions of pages of guidance that you would potentially have to work through in order to formulate a tax opinion. And it can take an enormous amount of time to get to a confident opinion for a tax attorney or a tax accountant. And that is the opportunity. I guess it also frames the challenge, right? So there's a huge volume of content that you have to work through to cut down on the research time. It's traditionally something that only someone with an incredible degree of education and specialization is able to do, and often only in narrow domains in tax law, just because it's so broad. Nobody is a master of all of tax law. People tend to specialize in particular areas of tax law and then really get to know that domain very well. And even then, they need to do significant research to provide tax opinions. And I guess the huge opportunity is we can save a huge amount of time on the part of tax professionals, make tax law a lot more understandable. The challenge is, how do you actually do that? Because in tax law, there is such a volume of material. And then the way that those materials present, they're not always so well cross-referenced, linked. It's not structured. It's a mix of structured and unstructured information from lots of different sources that you need to compile and bring into one place and then work through in a very robust way, work through the logic. And they're often nested definitions and exceptions, and then exceptions to exceptions, and then exceptions to exceptions. And it's wildly complex. And to do that effectively is a really serious challenge. And this is just one dimension of it. I'm focusing on research, and I'm focusing on research within tax, but there are tons of other potential applications of using AI throughout law. And each one of those potential applications is going to come with its own mix of opportunities and challenges.
Do you do a B2B or B2C? Because that was not clear for me.
All of our clients are either professional services firms, so we're talking about accounting firms or law firms, or they're larger corporations that have in-house tax departments, or they are governments. And we also have a number of clients who are CPAs in other contexts. I guess wealth advisors are also another example of folks who are using BlueJay, but we are not B2C at all. There are no consumers who are using BlueJay.
Okay. Do you have any successful use case that you would like to share with us?
Oh, we're closing in on 4,000 firms that are subscribing to BlueJay. So we have tens of thousands of tax professionals throughout North America and the UK who are using BlueJay, right from the big four accounting firms, so the biggest of the accounting firms, right through to individual CPAs, others who are in practice for themselves and advising taxpayers. The killer use case is conducting tax research and being able to produce a tax answer in literally a matter of minutes that would otherwise potentially take 10 or 12 hours of research. So it's an amazing use case, and it's hugely valuable. And this has led to our meteoric growth over the last few years.
Okay. I also saw that BlueJay has worked with OpenAI in helping them with the tax research platform. So would you like to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. And we collaborate very closely with OpenAI. We get early access to their models, and we provide a ton of feedback to their team about how well it's performing on our internal benchmarks. And so it is a very collaborative relationship. Tax research is an amazing playground for assessing the capabilities of models, because there are right answers, but especially as the models become more and more performant, it becomes more and more challenging to discern really strong performance from merely like strong performance. And so tax is a great area because of the nested reasoning, the nested definitions, the exceptions that really require the models to exhibit deep reasoning capabilities. And we take a bunch of the most challenging tax research questions that our customers are asking BlueJay and build this master kind of evaluation benchmark set with their questions. And then the criteria for a canonically correct answer or analysis to that. And we can put all of these models, candidate models, to the test and provide very detailed feedback about their strengths and weaknesses, what they handle well, what they handle less well. And that's very valuable to our collaborators at OpenAI. And we really appreciate getting early access to the models because it also means that when the models become more generally available, we're able to immediately roll that into production. And we've already done all the testing and we know how to work with those models most effectively to produce the best possible tax analysis.
That's very interesting. I was thinking as well while you were, while you were sharing this collaboration, I was wondering, like, I feel like tax, the whole thing about tax is very complex. But as well, it seems like very serious topic as well, right? So what are the misconceptions that there's about tax, like the most common misconceptions?
I can tell you as a law professor, I benefit hugely from the notoriously low expectations of students when they sign up for an introductory course in tax law. Students for are like not generally, some are excited about taking tax, but a lot of the students are not excited about enrolling in a tax class, and they come in with some nervousness and trepidation about the subject and, is this going to be just super dry and super boring? But it turns out that tax law is actually incredibly interesting as an area because not only does it have profound economic consequences for individual taxpayers, like the biggest expenditure item for a lot of people is every year, the amount that they pay in taxes cumulatively at the local level, state level, federal level, it's like a big chunk of people's income is being paid in tax. So that in itself is interesting, but also has major social policy implications. There are a whole bunch of different social policies embedded in the tax code. There's obviously a huge political economy dimension to taxes and tax breaks and industrial support and development, and a whole bunch of economic and social policy gets delivered through the tax code. And then there are often just really interesting issues around statutory interpretation and how do you translate the words in the code into answers in particular cases, especially when very clever tax attorneys have devised very clever tax avoidance strategies to navigate around the detailed rules in the code. And the question is often, this seems very clever, but does it actually work? And will the courts actually respect the measures that the taxpayer has taken to try to mitigate their tax liability? And that leads to a very interesting conversation analysis. And nobody knows this who hasn't studied tax law yet, but there are really interesting doctrines in the tax code surrounding just what you can do in terms of avoiding tax. So things like the economic substance doctrine. In the UK, there's a general anti-abuse rule. In Canada, there's a general anti-avoidance rule. What these things have in common is, yes, you're allowed to do tax planning, but if your tax planning is in some ways too successful and too creative, then it will fail because it's not something that the courts, at the invitation of the legislatures, are willing to actually respect for the purposes of determining your tax liability, in a nutshell. So I think you get a flavor from my response. Like there are a lot of really interesting things, philosophical, economic, political, social, embedded in studying tax law. And it can be really dry. It's true. But if it's taught in the right way, it's actually also incredibly interesting. And it really captures the full spectrum of human life. And tax attorneys are very creative, resourceful people, and they exploit the messiness of economic, social, reality in order to minimize tax liability for their clients. And it gives rise to a very interesting set of considerations.
Thank you for sharing all this information. I was kind of like, because I feel like most of the people don't really know how even tax works. It's just, you know that you're paying it, but you don't really know how to work. You just do it because you have to. Otherwise, you go to jail or you got a fine. So thank you very much for sharing this. I think it's very interesting. So Ben, I would like to understand how you, as the CEO and founder of BlueJay, how do you guys balance AI with the human side? What I mean is, like, where do you draw the line between what AI should do and what humans must still hold?
Yeah, I think it's implicit in our approach to our customers, to what we're providing to our customers, that they are tax professionals and they are ultimately responsible for the advice that they're delivering to their clients. And so we very much take this perspective of, let's do our level best to use AI to provide the very best tax analysis and the tax research help that we can to our users, knowing that inevitably there's going to be a human in the loop, and that human in the loop is the tax professional, leveraging BlueJay to inform their own professional analysis, which they then in turn provide to their clients. And we really push the boundaries of what is it that AI can do at this point, with the confidence that our users are professionals. They have their own professional judgment. We provide capabilities within the platform for them to verify the accuracy of the tax law analysis that they're getting from BlueJay. So the authoritative sources, whether it's the Internal Revenue Code itself or regulations or different case decisions, people can read that right in BlueJay. We link out to leading sources of academic commentary like Tax Notes. We've just licensed a huge amount of content from something called the IBFD, which is the International Bureau for Fiscal Documentation, which is based in Amsterdam. They have the best global tax research information globally. And it's a huge amount of backup for the tax analysis that we're providing. And people are able to use the system to inform their own professional judgment. But that provides us with a huge amount of comfort at BlueJay, knowing that there are these experts in the loop and we're making those experts' lives easier, and they're exercising their own professional judgment before passing that on to their clients.
Okay. I also saw that you wrote a book, The Legal Singularity, and you mentioned that in your opinion and your experience, law is more coherent and consistent through AI. So would you mind sharing a little bit more about it? Like, why do you think so? Where does that vision come from?
Yeah, I think if you look at the path of the law over the past several centuries, especially in common law jurisdictions like the UK, like the United States, like Canada, Australia, and I would argue elsewhere in the world too, even civil law jurisdictions like those in most of continental Europe and beyond, we do see increasing coherence of the law. We see a convergence towards more and more specified law. By that, like actually like much more detailed legal regulation. So a lot of the calls to simplify law, I think, underappreciate the gains associated with spelling things out in ever greater detail to make the law more fair and more efficient. In a nutshell, the idea behind the legal singularity is that as AI helps us to accelerate understanding the law, it can also lead to make the law more and more fair, more and more efficient. And so we'll be able to dial up the complexity of the law at the same time as we dial up our ability to cope with complexity, which should ultimately lead to a nearly complete legal system where we're no longer left wondering how the law works. Any answer that you may have, any question you may have about the law, could be answered nearly instantly on demand in a way that you would find as a citizen totally satisfactory, that you understand why the law is as it is, what it means for you, and how you know, your rights and obligations under the law, what you're entitled to, what duties can be imposed on you with relation to others, what can people demand from you legally. And I think we'll see a rapid improvement in dispute resolution. And it's going to, if we play this right as society, as members of society, as the legal profession, the law is going to become much more transparent, much more obviously fair, much more easily understood by the average citizen. But it's not going to become simpler. It'll just become simpler in terms of dealing with it. In fact, there will be an explosion of complexity under the covers. And one of the metaphors I like to invoke here, Flora, in conversation is kind of like an iPhone or a smartphone, right? A smartphone is really easy to use. A two-year-old can pick up a phone and use her finger on the screen and figure out cause and effect and get it to do interesting things that they want it to do. But the underlying code of a phone is wildly complex, like way more complex than any software that would have existed 20 years ago in even the most sophisticated supercomputer. So the code is getting much more complex and deep under the covers, but the actual user interface is actually far simplified. And so I think we'll see the same thing with the legal system. And if you think of the legal system as the operating system for society, the operating system for society is going to become way more complex, but it's going to become easier for all of us to navigate and to operate with the help of technology. The subtitle of the book is, the title is The Legal Singularity. The subtitle is How Artificial Intelligence Can Make Law Radically Better. And I think that captures it very elegantly.
Yeah, I think that I didn't see that. No, that's why I was kind of like, oh, now, yeah, the subtitle kind of actually explains a summary of kind of what is the book about. Yeah. Great. So, Ben, how do you see the future of AI in tax research?
I can't help but be biased on this front, Floor. I think BlueJay is going to play a central role in the future of AI in tax research. I think one of the things that's underappreciated is just how deep research goes in terms of the work that tax professionals do. Research is really core to everything in tax law. And right now, a lot of the systems are based on question and answering. BlueJay is moving now decisively in the direction of agentic research. And this can increasingly take on a huge spectrum of capabilities that tax professionals are engaged in. And so I think it's going to be extremely interesting. I can imagine a future where there are two businesses. One business is looking to acquire another business, a big M&A transaction. And the tax professionals who are advising the acquiring company and the target company enter a very straightforward prompt into a tool like BlueJay and say, can you identify the most efficient structures and the ways of actually getting this transaction done? And we'll upload a bunch of information about each of these businesses, and the system could chug away for a number of minutes and come back with, here's the very tax aggressive way to do it, here's the plain vanilla way to do it, and here's the recommended kind of Goldilocks in the middle way of accomplishing this, and here are the mix of tax consequences associated with this, here's how it sets the table for the successor entity or entities here. And this is the sort of work that would take literally many thousands of tax attorney and tax accountant hours in present day transactions to actually figure all of this stuff out. I can see that moving entirely into an AI kind of workflow, which I think is a big part of this. I'll leave you with a second prediction, which is that tax administrations like the IRS, like the Canada Revenue Agency, like HMRC in the UK and others globally will increasingly be using AI to administer and understand the tax systems that they are asked to actually work with and administer for their populations. And so this has big consequences for folks in the private sector who are trying to figure out how to plan their transactions, knowing that they're going to be scrutinized with very sophisticated tax AI systems in the future, it makes sense to fight fire with fire on this front and use AI to make sure that you have confidence in the positions that you're taking, because those on the other side who are going to be scrutinizing your choices will also be using AI.
Yeah, it's very clear for me that AI is the future for everything right now. Ben, I have a just last question for you, and it's more related with your journey. You've been a founder and the CEO of BlueJay for a decade already. So I imagine that you had, and you have, obviously, support community or a community support or mentors or people who help you, right? What communities have shaped you most on this journey? Can be mentors, it doesn't have to be like a community.
Yeah, it's a great question. There's been so much support, for huge support from our investors, from our pre-seed investors, our seed investors. We just raised our Series D. So I would include Series A, Series B, Series C, and now Series D investors have all been extremely supportive. I have had the benefit of being part of different CEO groups over time, and these are a fantastic resource, especially when there are other scaling tech CEOs in different industries, but dealing with like similar kinds of things, and especially selfishly having people in those groups who are one or two or three kind of steps ahead of where BlueJay has been hugely valuable, because I've gotten the opportunity to witness those journeys firsthand. And then even at the University of Toronto, there are a number of incubator programs, accelerators that have been very helpful. For example, the Creative Destruction Lab, which is based at the business school at the University of Toronto, is very helpful. The Department of Computer Science also has a program that BlueJay benefited from very early on. And so it's really been a ton of support. And then I guess I would also say my family has been very supportive, from, you know, family members writing early angel checks to support BlueJay through to my spouse and my children, my two daughters being very supportive and understanding. It's really been a massive group effort to take us to this point. So you're right. Nobody like goes on this journey alone. It's all about orchestrating this with a community.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's been great having this conversation with you. I think that I've learned way more about how tax and taxes in general works. Thank you very much for the last, how you concluded, because I found it very wise words. Like, no one does it things by themselves. We all, so there's always someone or something behind. It's just not, it's never like just you by yourself. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Flora. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.